Good morning. It's great that you could join us at KCC this morning. My name's Nicola. I'm the pastor here at Nottingley. If you're visiting us for the first time, a real special welcome to you, and we hope that you enjoy being part of our service this morning. I'm going to pray, and after that, Brogan is going to bring the reading this morning. We're reading from Ruth chapter 3. We're following a series in Ruth, and next week we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 4. So let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are with us this morning, wherever we may be. Lord, we thank you that we can join together to hear your word, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, Lord. Lord, open up our ears so that we can hear you. Lord, I pray, God, that you will speak directly into our lives. Lord, you are amazing, Lord, and we know that you have got great things in store for us, Lord. And I just pray, God, that this morning we will just hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the service this morning, if you're watching live with us, you can make comments down the side. Just if God speaks to you, if God gives you a scripture or a word of encouragement or something directly speaks to you from this morning, just drop it in the chat.
One day Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight you will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly and covered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognised, and he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured it into 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. The man will not rest until the matter is settled today."
Thank you, Brogan, for reading Ruth chapter 3 for us. And this week, we're continuing our series from the book of Ruth. And this week, I've entitled my message, "There is a Plan." Now, in Ruth chapter 3, it reveals Naomi's plan to bring Ruth and Boaz together in marriage to enable Ruth to have a secure and healthy future. Now, remembering back to Ruth chapter 1 and Ruth chapter 2, Naomi and Ruth had gone through difficult times. Naomi had even called herself Mara on the return to Bethlehem, which means bitter, being bitter and bitterness, because she'd moved, that she had recently moved from that position of being downcast and looking at the negative and looking at the future bleakly, from being in a survival mode to that of hope. In Boaz, she saw a glimmer of hope. She saw a glimmer of hope for Ruth, and she saw a glimmer of hope for herself, that she would be, the line of Elimelech would carry on through Boaz and Ruth. This hope enabled her to look to the future and to shake off all that negativity that was surrounding her. She looked at what could be, not what their current situation was. Now, the definition of hope, I've got three definitions here. One is to want something to happen or to be true, and usually have a good reason to think that it might. Another definition was to desire a desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Another definition was hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Now, Naomi's hope was to take them from where they were to a better place, not just to stay where they were. And this hope enabled her to action and to move and hope for a good outcome. Now, at the moment, we're facing lockdown again, and restrictions are in place all across the area and across the country, across the world, in fact. But we are the church, and the church is not in lockdown. The church has not ceased to be. The buildings that we meet in are closed, but the church is very much alive and open. You know, without hope, we go through motions. Without hope, Naomi and Ruth were going through the motions of going into the field and gleaning from the fields enough to feed themselves. Without hope, we don't see what can be. We see just what is. Hope leads us to be excited and to be in anticipation of what is to come. Now, William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Hope enables us to dream. Hope is based on the confidence that sovereign God is for us. And he is able. Now the chapter 3 finishes with Naomi full of confidence in the power and the goodness of God. I'm excited for Nottingley. Are you? Are you confident in the goodness and the power of God to do amazing things? Now, a scripture that was laid on my heart, and then a friend sent me the message. I'd not shared this with anybody, and sent me a message with Joshua 3 verse 5, which reads, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And she said, Nicola, I really believe this is for you and for your church in Nottingley. You know, God is able to do amazing things among us. Are you hopeful for that? You know, hopeful churches wait and listen for God's guidance. Then they plan and they strategize as they know that he has something good in store. Strategy. You know, if you've been watching the news recently, you may have seen the story of British Airways and the 747 jumbo jets that have just gone into retirement. BA replaced the 747 with a more fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly version. You know, the planes will be going to the same destination, but the people on them will have a different method, a different vessel to travel in. As these last two planes took off, there was ground crew, cabin crew, and pilots all lined up on the tarmac watching that final journey. And they were all chatting and they were all reminiscing about the good times and how fantastic it was flying on the jumbo jets and serving on the jumbo jets. And some of them were being a little bit apprehensive about what was to come. Maybe the next planes won't be as good as the new ones. Maybe the next plane won't be as comfortable to work on as the last one. But, you know, BA knew that to keep up in the market and to keep British Airways going into the future, they had to move. They had to strategize and they had to change. They had to adapt and they had to plan strategically. You know, this new model of plane will take them into the next years. It was months and months of planning but it's a new season of aviation for British Airways. They're looking ahead as well as meeting the needs now. Going forward, with a mission, you have to plan and you have to strategize. You know, we have to do the same. We have to have a strategy and a plan to outwork God's will for our lives and for our church. We have to move forward with purpose. Now, in Ruth 3, Ruth and Naomi didn't just arrive in Bethlehem and then immediately jump into finding Ruth a husband. They waited and they got to know the ground. They worked with what they had and did what they could during that current situation. They waited for that right opportunity, not just any opportunity. They waited for God to open up the way and direct their path. I remember once when I was on a youth missions weekend away in a town in the Midlands. Our youth group was sent out onto the streets to gather up all the young people in the town and bring them back to the church building where there was hot coffee and cakes and biscuits and sweet treats. And they'd be having music and games and the gospel will be shared with them. And I was walking around the town with another young female. And I really had this feeling that we should go down this alleyway. Now, this alleyway was in between two tall buildings. There was no lights. It was dark at that time and it was full of the big, really big giant wheelie bins and rubbish was all around. And my friend just looked at me and went, I'm not going down there. But I had this sense that we should go. And then we kind of discussed, actually, is it safe? What's at the other end? Is it dead end? We don't know who's lurking down there. We're two young females on our own. Maybe it's not that wise. So we decided that we wouldn't go because it was a little bit scary, to be honest. And that feeling never left me. As we were walking around town, I kept looking back thinking, yeah, maybe we should really go back and go down that alleyway. But we didn't. But later on that evening, we were walking in the same area and we saw a guy from our youth group. And he was just walking down, strutting down the town centre, and there was a big crowd of young people behind him. And I asked him, where on earth did you find all these young people? We haven't been able to find many at all. And he said, well, I went that building over there, that alleyway down the side of the building. I went down there and it opened up into a car park and there were this small group of young people, but their group leader decided that a hot coffee and some cake in a church building was better than freezing on the streets. So he called all his mates and they've all come. And we named this guy the Pied Piper because literally all the young people of the town were following him. He went down that alleyway. Sometimes we need to be brave. We need to follow God's leading. It might not look like you think or expect, but we need to be ready for the unexpected. You know, he went down that dark, dingy alleyway and the young people heard that gospel. You know, for our church, it's important that we don't just run into making a decision. We just don't run into finding a way for ourselves, but we wait for God to open up that path before us. We need to take time. We don't need to be jumping from where we are into something new straight away because we might move in the wrong direction. You know, Naomi's strategy may not have been the normal way of doing things back then. And the way we go forward may not be the normal way of doing things. The things that we have seen before, the things that we've experienced before. During this current climate, during the restrictions, the COVID restrictions, it can't be the same as it was before. But we need to look at where God is directing. We need to look at where God is directing for now and where God is directing for the future. We need to listen and we need to plan a strategy around this. We need to be wise in our plans. You know, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, this plan involved them all. It wasn't just Ruth by herself or Naomi by herself or Boaz by himself. They came together. It was a team. They moved together and they moved in the same direction. So as a church in Nottingley, we need to move forward intentionally with purpose and plan strategically following God's direction. Trust. You know, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz were known for their good characters. It was said all the way through about Ruth that Ruth was known by the townspeople. Boaz had heard from the people around what good character Ruth had. They were godly. They lived and moved with integrity. And their hearts were fixed on God. Their conduct was truly godly. Naomi did things according to the law and the customs. Ruth was totally committed and faithful to Naomi and to her God. She was noticed by people around her. Boaz didn't just jump in and take advantage of Ruth, but showed integrity and treated Ruth and Naomi with respect. They had godly characters. They did things the right way and they followed God's guiding. And God blessed it. They trusted God every step of the way. Naomi knew that her God was good and faithful and would do good things. She trusted him with her life. She trusted him with her future. And she was hopeful of great things to come. She was hopeful for her situation to change. And in all of this, she trusted God. You know, she stepped out when the time was right. Not before and not too late. She moved. She took the initiative. She believed and trusted that when God opens a door, when God opens an opportunity, he will follow through with that plan and he will be there every step with them, but he will go before them. They just had to wait and see what happened. Do we trust God with our lives? Do we trust God with our church? Do we trust God with our town? You know, God will direct our paths when we are in that right place and we're listening to him. We need to trust God that he knows what he is doing. But in this, we have to be open. We have to be vulnerable. We have to put down our own agendas and we have to follow his. It means that we were going to have to be brave. It means that we'll have to be open. It means that we'll have to be living a life of integrity and anticipating that God can do great things and that God will do great things. You know, as we start a new season in Nottingley, in these unprecedented times, we need to have hope that God is going to do amazing things. This hope will lead to a strategy that follows God's leading. And we need to trust in our amazing, all-powerful God that he will prepare the way and bring us into a new place. We've got exciting times ahead. Just going to have a time of prayer right now, following on from the message that we've just heard. And we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. I'm not going to pray out loud. I'm going to put up some slides onto the screen with some prayer points. And it'd be great if you could engage wherever you are, whether you're at home, whether in your workplace, you can find a quiet spot somewhere, whether you're outside, and just pray over the prayer points that come up. You know, we need to expect great things from God. And we need to seek God and we need to praise him for what he is doing and what he is going to do in our lives, in our church and in the town of Nottingley. Well, thank you for joining us this morning at KCC. It was great that you could be with us. Please keep a lookout on our Facebook page for things that are coming up. Check out the website and the YouTube. If you go back in YouTube, you can listen to the messages from the previous weeks. And it would be great to see you again here next week. Have a fantastic week.